In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. So it's necessary then that we start the year with Him, who is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega. So in our time together this first day of this new year, I want to remind us of Him, of Him. There are certain memorable and very deep things concerning our Savior that we have written in this first chapter of the Gospel of John, the first 14 verses that I read to you a moment ago. So please turn there. We're going to go through some of the verses. And it's a teaching sermon, so please join me because we want to know something more or to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we start with Him in this new year. It's quite profitable to begin a new year spending some time remembering or reviewing and recalling things about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as most of us know, the Gospel of John was written by John the Apostle, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James Zebedee, who was also an apostle. John was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, and he was saved and was called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he followed the Lord Jesus and was an eyewitness of all that happened during the Lord's ministry on this earth. He was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he was there with James and Peter when the Lord Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember? He saw the Shekinah glory of the Lord, and he heard the voice of God say to them that time, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5. But yet, he was there at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he observed the agony of the Lord of glory. He was at the foot of the cross when he hung on the cross in Calvary's hill. And it was to him that the Lord Jesus Christ handed over his mother to look after. And he told the mother to take John as her son. So John was inspired in a special way to write and to reveal deep things concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we should begin the year with these things that have been written down in this gospel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is a light of the world. He's a light of the world. In His light, we see light. And so it's good to really see who He is. And in His light, we can face tomorrow. So the title of today's sermon is The Light of the Christian Life. Of course, the light is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The light of the Christian life. The light in the life of the Christian. And once you get to see the light, the desire is that you would now trust and obey through the year. Once you see the light, you should be able to, because in His light, we see light, and we have wisdom, and we know what to do when things happen around us. So look at the first verse, John chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's just go through it briefly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is John's way of making known to us that Christ Jesus is divine, that He existed before creation. Christ is God eternally and has always been God. But then you wonder, why did he introduce him as the Word? Why the Word? And then you begin to realize that he's trying to reveal to us that Christ Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, was equal with God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, equally divine, sharing all the attributes of God, was a member of the Godhead, but he is the one to reveal, the one to communicate in plain words, the one to declare to all of us, to the created world, to tell us who God is and what God's plans are. So in the beginning was the Word. As somebody said, nobody knows what you are thinking if you do not put it into words. It is by formulating a word or words that what is in your head may be known to other people. And this is the case in this this verse where the apostle used the Word. The Word stands for the unseen thought or unseen person. For indeed, who could know God, the invisible God? Who could know him? Nobody. How would you know his character or his will? Unless he speaks to us, and the Word is Christ Jesus. And his office is to communicate to the human race, to the created order, the being of God, the character of God, and the plan of God. So in the beginning was the Word. And then we read, and the Word was with God. Indeed, face to face with God. The closeness, the intimacy in the Godhead is revealed. He was with God. The intimacy between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The divine essence, the same divine essence. One God in three persons. And they must share the very closest identity and communion in all respects. He was with God. And the Word was God. And this is repeated because he says, and the Word was God. This is repeated to make sure that all of us, anyone reading this, must know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God. Amen? He's of the same essence with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Again, to emphasize and summarize what he has been saying in verse 1. So before time was, Christ Jesus was the Word and was with God and was God. In verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made all things, and this is repeated in the apostle's style. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. To emphasize that he is the creator of all things. When God determined to create, Christ Jesus created. He was and is the agency of creation. So God created by speaking the Word. And as he spoke, he created. So the Word is powerful. So Christ is revealed here as the Word and is revealed as the Creator. And this is not just here alone. It's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let's just share Isaiah chapter 40. Let me read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 28. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So notice the extent, the diverse nature of the things created by our God. In here, he tells us as the one that renews our strength. Up to renew your strength. He's the one that does it. The diversity is immense. The creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't faint. In verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. In flip over to Isaiah 44. Let me read one more verse 24. Isaiah 44:24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb." Notice the diversity, the extent of what he has created. He's created all things. "I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof." Notice the tenses of the verbs in verse 24. "He that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." 25. "That frustrateth the tokens, and maketh diviners mad, and maketh their knowledge foolish." 26. "That confirmeth the word of his servants, and performeth the counsel of his messengers." Present continuous. So he doesn't create and leave, he continues. And look at the extent, the diversity of what he created and what he sustains. This is our God. This is our God. And of course, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 1, God, chapter 1 verse 1, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets," now the word, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." 11, "They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all will wax old as doth a garment." Friends, brothers and sisters, our Savior, our Redeemer is God. He is God. He's on the throne. We should not doubt him. We should never doubt him. Especially if you have been saved by him. You should never doubt him. And how can we fear and faint and begin to draw back from the faith because of the wars going on around the world, in our own country, rumors of wars, because of the widespread false claims of scientists and so many secular philosophers telling us about the annihilation of the world? Haven't they heard that it is he alone that will stop this world? He alone will say, this is the end, and that the end will come. So may we continuously trust him. Amen? Indeed, he created in the first place. None of these leaders, none created anything. So he created in the first place. He brought everything to be. So he has the power to dismantle. And he has the power to recreate, to rebuild. So Lord, may we indeed think of this and believe the power of his word. Amen? May we believe this, and then as we face the days, because clearly the days will not indeed be as many people are predicting. They are really bad coming. As you face these days ahead, we should wait, be those that wait upon him and trust in him and obey in him. All right. Verse 4. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 4. We read, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Simple words. So Christ Jesus is a fountain of life and is a fountain of light. And all forms of life, all forms of life, plant life, animal life, human life, consciousness, human life in the soul, rational life, spiritual life, eternal life, all forms of life. In him was life. But in this verse, it's human life that is in focus, this, the life of the soul, the power of reason, the cognitive ability or energy, all these come from him. So animals do not have this type of life that we have in this verse. Only creatures created in his image and his likeness have this life. And the apostle tells us that this life is the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. The life in him, who was the word that was with God and was God, is the light of men. The life in him is the light of men. That means the light that all men need to see God and approach God and have fellowship with God. Because in him is life. And him was the word that was with God and was God and is the light of men. So you need this light, you need this life in order to have fellowship with God. So we have to really have this light in order to hear, to see, to understand who and what God is, and to have fellowship with God. So simple words, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it's so deep that you have to take time to really start getting into it. I believe that 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, because he wrote this first letter to, this first epistle of his, 1 John chapter 1, he expands it and helps us to understand. He said, that which was from the beginning, try and see the life and the light in this portion of scripture. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. This is personalized. Personalized. One who has a life, who has seen the light that is in the word that was with God and was God, is now personalizing it and inviting each and every one of us to get into the fellowship. So the word is there, but now the word is the word of life. And so what is the light of life here? And as soon as you look at the word manifest and so on, now you see, begin to see that the hearing and the seeing with our eyes and looking upon and handling of the word of life, having fellowship, is where the light comes in. The word of life is there. And verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. So the light of life is needed by every one of us. If you don't have it, you can't have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. You can't. You have to have this light. And it is life that is in the light. The word of life, the light of life, they're all together. They go together and they remain together. So the light of life brings about spiritual exercises. The hearing, the seeing, the looking upon, the handling. These are spiritual exercises for us to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. If you flip over, you see 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Again, try and see the life side of it and the light side of it. Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So 2 Peter 1, 3 says, according as his divine power had given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, fellowship, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we need a light to see the corruption and to escape the corruption. It's good that we focus on God. I'm not going to tell you stories, eh? It's good that we focus on God and meditate upon the word of God as we begin the year. And if we do this, having the light of life, then we will be directed properly. So try and follow. Simple terms, but because you're a Christian, because you have received the Holy Spirit, you should be able to follow Apostle John and what he's trying to reveal to us. So the light of life brings about these spiritual exercises, and we ought to know them. In John chapter 8, verse 12, confirms what we've been saying. John 8, 12. The Lord himself says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So how do I know that I have the light of life? It's by following him. And I need the light of life to follow him. I have to have the light of life, which has something to do with the life in him. And as soon as I have it, I will be following him, because I see light in his light. And the evidence that I have the light of life is that I'm following him. So, John chapter 1, verse 4, simple, but has so much. In him was life, and the life was the light of the life of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, I leave it here. Let's go to verse 5. And verse 5 tells us more about this light. Verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Suddenly introduced darkness. Suddenly introduced darkness. So this verse is in two parts. So the light that is Christ Jesus, the light in the life of him who is the Word with God and was God, continues to shine, because he says, and the light shineth in darkness, continues to shine in darkness. And the darkness cannot stop it, cannot prevent it. I suppose the ESV says that he cannot overcome it, but it's that he cannot comprehend it. Cannot comprehend it. John chapter 3 verse 19 tells us, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So it's not that, it just, men just didn't have the capability. This is a doctrine of total depravity. They didn't have the ability to even sense it. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, continues to shine, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So when we see Christ Jesus, who is the light of life, the light of the world, he continues to shine right from the beginning of creation, because he says the light shineth in darkness. And so what is this darkness? This darkness is not physical darkness, because he created the physical darkness. So this darkness, as written here, tells us that it's the opposite of light. The opposite of light. And once we see that it's opposite of light, it means that all that the light stands, what we have seen about light, it has life in the Word that was God and was God. So darkness is opposite to all these. So anti-God, anti-Trinitarian doctrinal truth, anti-Christ, anti-Scripture, anti-six-day creation by the Word of the Lord, anti-God, everything against God is darkness. Darkness is having no knowledge of God. Darkness is wickedness, because wickedness is having no knowledge of God. And the Bible says that the world lieth in wickedness. It has been so right from Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Lord said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So this darkness has been there since the beginning of time. But the light kept shining. The light kept shining. And indeed, come to think of it, it has been so till now. The world lieth in wickedness. Think about all the world leaders, from Nigeria to Ukraine to Russia to America to Finland. Think about all the world leaders. So political leaders, the financial industry leaders, think about all of them, the ones you remember. Are the famous leaders, the celebrities, and those who entertain you, those that you listen to and you go to see them. You know them. Those that entertain you. Get into your car and you're playing some music and I say, okay. Think about them. And think about the people who have the highest imaginable education and financial influence in the world. Well, all of them, maybe perhaps a few exceptions, but all of them don't have the true knowledge of God. None. So the darkness is thickening, and even is a blackness of darkness. That's where we are now. That's where we are now. They're all anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Scripture, all of them. They don't know our God. They don't know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Word, was the Word that was with God and was God and that created everything and is a light of life. They don't know. They don't know. So there's darkness everywhere. But yet, the light continues to shine. Light continues to shine. It has not ceased shining. So God has not given up on fallen humanity. Amen? And we know this because of redemptive history. When you think about history, redemptive history, how from Genesis, God has been saving people. Abraham, Moses, David, he's been saving. He's been bringing them out from darkness and they're coming and giving them the light of life. And in the New Testament, it's the same. And he continues to send men, to be witnesses. He sends men to point people to the light. And so what we have, verse 6 to, John chapter 1, 6 to 8, explains this. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. You see, he has not given up on sinful man. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So God keeps sending people. He sent the prophets, and he sent John. So John, in this passage, typifies every believer, typifies you and me. God was a human being, a mere man. But God sent him. We know that he had the Holy Spirit right from the womb. From conception, he had the Holy Spirit. But when we are born again, we have the Holy Spirit as well. So John typifies you and typifies me. And so what he did here is an example that we should try and imitate and practice as we face the new year. It's to point people to the light. If we have the light, it should be a channel of blessing to point people to the light. Because there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So my prayer is that somebody will believe through you. Amen? Amen. But you have to point people to Christ. In your Sunday school, in the BCM, point people to Christ. And it would be wonderful for people to believe through you, as written here in John. So we should note this. I would like to read J.C. Ryle on this. So this is for ministers, for those who minister the word of God. J.C. Ryle says that Christian ministers are not priests. Nor mediators between God and man. They are witnesses. They are intended to bear testimony to God's truth and especially to the great truth that Christ is the only Savior and light of the world. And this was Apostle Peter's ministry, you remember? The day of Pentecost, he just testified concerning the Savior. And then Apostle Paul also, it was his own tenor, it was his own focus of Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, Apostle Paul was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So unless, Bishop Ryle says, unless a Christian minister bears full testimony to Christ, he is not faithful to his office. So long as he does testify to Christ, he has done his part and will receive his reward. Although his hearers may not believe his testimony, so until a minister's hearers believe on that Christ of whom they are told, They receive no benefit from the ministry. They may be pleased and interested, but they are not profited until they believe. So the great end of a minister's testimony is that through him men might believe. J.C. Ryle. So may we be ministers of the word. Amen. May we be ministers of the word, and may people believe through us. Pray, pray, pray. You have to pray. So begin, pray. I prayed. Pray. That people will hear and believe through you. So, Apostle John, in these verses I have considered from verse 1 to verse 8, has introduced Christ Jesus, our Savior, emphasizing his divine nature. So he urges every one of us to remember that Christ was the Word that was with God, that was God. Christ was the creator of all things created by God. Christ is the light. And in verse 9, the apostle writes that Christ is the true light. Look at verse 9, John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh unto the world. So he urges us to remember Christ Jesus. But suddenly he says true light. True light. Why did he do that? He left light. He had said before that the light. But suddenly he went to the true light. So almost like saying to us, and for us to ask the question, are there false lights? Are there false lights? And if there are false lights, how might one know them so we can avoid them? But then he didn't tell us. So I'm told that people in the banks, when they are trying to tell you about the counterfeit, they don't bring the counterfeit at all. They only show you the genuine thing so that anytime the counterfeit comes, you will know. So that's what he does here. What's the true light? How do we know false lights? So it means that he has indeed listed out all the characteristics of the true light for us to know and to hold on to. And anything against it is antichrist, anti-scripture, and we should drop them. So he has already told us that the true light, like in verse 9, he said, true light that lighted every man. So that's one of the characteristics of the true light. It lighteth every man. That is a spiritual enlightenment. It illuminates. It's a spiritual thing. That's one of the characteristics of the true light. And this is the light of the Christian. So there are distinctives that he has already told us right from the beginning. And let me just go through the distinctives so that you'll know. In verse 4, the light has divine life. Because it says the life is a light. So that means that the light has divine life. And this life is in Christ Jesus. It is in God. It is divine life in Christ Jesus, and that's the light of life of men. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 speaks on this light. You remember 2 Corinthians 4, 6, where we are told, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this light, the distinct one characteristic of this light is that it has the life of Christ in it. The glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. In verse 5, the light shines, revealing Christ Jesus in the world of darkness. The darkness is the world, and it cannot stop shining. So it continues. If you have the light of life, that means you cannot run away from the church. So somebody who runs away from the faith clearly has no light of life. It insists. In spite of the darkness, it continues. It continues. That's one of the characteristics of this light. And the light has power because it has the life of Christ. And therefore we continue to preach the gospel in spite of the difficulties because it has power. That's the characteristic of it. And in verse 6, men bear witness to this light by preaching, not by miraculous works, not by miracle working, by preaching. So if you come and you're a miracle worker, you're not preaching, you don't have the light. You don't have the light. It's by preaching, just pointing people to Christ, pointing people to Christ. And then in verse 9, we have this distinctive that it lighteth every man. I read J.C. Ryle again on this distinctive. Christ is to the souls of men what the sun is to the world. Christ is the center and source of all spiritual light, warmth, life, health, growth, beauty, and fruitfulness. So like the sun, he shines for the common benefit of all mankind, for the high and for the low, for rich and for poor, for Jew and for Greek. All may look at him and drink health out of his light. If millions of mankind were mad enough to dwell in caves underground or to bandage their eyes, their darkness would be their own fault and not the fault of the sun. So likewise, if millions of men and women love spiritual darkness rather than light, they like to keep dancing in the church, is their business, the blame must be laid on their blind hearts and not on Christ. Joshua didn't say about dancing anyway, so. So, but whether men will see or not, Christ is the true sun and the true light of the world. There is no light for sinners except in the Lord Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle. So when people claim the universality of salvation by saying that he lighteth every man, no. You're saying it's the same thing that John 3:16 says. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ Jesus is there. And he's the light of the world. And he gives the light of life. And he's there shining. And we point people to him. So he's there for everyone. So we preach to everyone. If you walk away, it's your business. But if you have some interest and you come, he will give you the light of life. Amen? So any light that does not manifest in him. So Christ Jesus must be in the light of life. In the light of any Christian, Christ Jesus must be there. It's not philosophy, it's not politics. Christ Jesus must be there. If he's not there, then it's a false light. You must recognize that he was the Word that was with God and was God, is the creator of everything. That the light must recognize these things. And we know that God condemns all false lights. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. I'm sure you know this scripture. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. So many people kindle their own lights. They have vast empires and so on, and they think people should come. They preach miracles and so on, people come. The healing schools and so on, people come. They have their own lights. And he says, this they must take from his hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. So God condemns all lies that don't focus on Christ Jesus, the Word that was with God and was God and creator of all things, the light of life. You must focus on him. Amen? But no focus, look at John chapter 1 verse 9. How it ends. It says, every man that cometh into the world... This does not refer to the man, to every man. Because, of course, we are born here. We don't come into the world. We are born here. We are in the world. So that comment into the world is a participle that modifies the subject, the true light. The true light that cometh into the world. His coming has been from the beginning. It has been coming from the beginning. And so, if now going back to John chapter 1 and read from verse 1, you see that how the apostle, in a sense, is telling us about how Christ has been coming. The plan of Christ to come into the world was there in his mind as he was writing. He first described him as the Word that was with God. And the Word means that is ready to declare, Word to describe, to reveal, Word ready to tell people about God. He was getting ready in heaven before time. And then in the process of coming, he created all things. The plan was coming out. The first external work of God is creation. He created. It was coming. And then the plan to recreate was also there because darkness came. So you see the plan? Choice words, and he's painted this picture, telling us about his coming. And then think about redemptive history. Because after creation, redemptive history kicked in. And he sent witnesses to bear witness. And in the fullness of time, he came. And so we read in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. So before he came, before his incarnation, he was in the world, and the world did not know him. And the apostle tells us that in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So redemptive history, he was coming, and he created. Recreation started, and he sent people coming, the prophets, people coming to tell about this work of providence. So creation, then providence, and then redemption. All there, the external works of God. And so people would have known him because of the providential power, the power of governing and sustaining the works of creation, and yet they didn't acknowledge him. Romans chapter 1 and 2 will tell you what happened, both Jews and Gentiles. And in verse 11, the apostle talks about the Jews. He says he came unto his own. He had prepared them, the people he selected. And when he selected them, he showed himself to them, gave them laws, the oracles of God, and told them how to come approach him. He prepared them, prepared people. Then when he came, after the incarnation, he came, and they didn't recognize him. The darkness was thickening. Wickedness is terrible. Not acknowledging God. Imagine you coming home to your wife and your wife doesn't recognize you. When you would need her most, she will not recognize you. Terrible. And as it was then, so it has been. Jews and Gentiles, the whole world, even now. But we thank God for verse 12 and 13. As you can see, I'm hurrying. 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Much to be said here, but one has to summarize. The light continues to shine in darkness, and many receive the light of life. And how to receive the light of life is explained in verse 13. In order to receive the light of the Christian life, one must be born of God. Not the will of man, as he said here. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, no, but of God. So for you to receive the light of life, you have to be born of God. For you to truly begin to see him and have fellowship with him, you have to be born again to receive the light of life. You must be conferred with the privilege, the authority of being a child of God. You must then receive the light of life. All right, thank you for your patience this first day of the new year. But it's good to be exercised in these things. So my prayer is that we in Sovereign Grace Bible Church should be exercised in these things. We must begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So begin to think thoughts about him. When you wake up, think thoughts about him. Remember him. In everything you are planning, remember him. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the Word that was with God and was God in the beginning. He's God. May we never forget this in our own lifetime. Amen? So he created you. And he created all things. And he gives life to all things. He's the true light. And he's ever shining to make himself known. And he desires that you too will make him known to other people in the days ahead. May we remember this and thank him. He's your friend. Amen? He's our friend. Amen.